Not to be dramatic, but if there is not a coffee in, on, or around my mouth hole in 30 seconds, I'm gonna die.
Hey, does anybody want a coffee? Who wants coffee? I just made a fresh pot of coffee. Does anybody want coffee? Who wants coffee? Does anybody want coffee? Who wants coffee?
Having conversations about society, one cup at a time. Coffee with RW. Pour yourself a cup and join us.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you very much for tuning in. You're listening to Coffee with RW. Yours truly, Ralph William. We got a lot of things to talk about. You know, things in the news, things not in the news, some commentary, things of that nature. But, you know, I'm here to introduce a good morning, whether it be good or bad. Most likely bad, because, you know, sometimes we need to wake up about certain things that's going on in society. But first off, I want to let you guys know, if you haven't downloaded WESN, the Epic Strategies Network, please do so on your Google Play Store or Apple Store. This is my internet radio station that I like to do and want to make it grow. It's a labor of love, of a hobby, something that I've always wanted to do. And I want to do that for many other people. So we have several other shows on WESN that... you know, I like to promote and have people listen to. If you want to be one of those shows and want to help us keep on going, then go and donate to our fundraiser on PayPal. The link is in the description box below, and you can go to my Twitter at the Ralph William and find the link there, or go to epicstrategiesnetwork.com and click on the donate or keep us running link on the top of the page, and every little bit helps. I want to say thank you, and to help us keep this station going and our DJs running and happy with the station. So I want to say thank you very much for doing that, and I'd greatly appreciate it. Also, if you want to follow me on the Truth Social, you can follow me on Truth Social. The link is also in the description box below. It is WESNRW on Truth Social. So as I always like to do in the morning of every podcast, show, you know, live stream, however you want to do it, if you have a cup of coffee or a beverage, then here we go and let's get started. If you have your coffee mugs, your travel mugs, your sippy cups, your doggy bowls, if you have a beer hat and you want to drink it like that, then go ahead and do so and join me in a cup of cafecito. So do you guys remember, if you guys paid attention to headlines and things like that, there was a headline yesterday about Jeff Bezos kind of saying, hey, what about Elon Musk's connection with China? Should we be worried? I mean, since he's taken over Twitter. Funny you should say that, because why aren't we holding the president of the United States up to the same scrutiny, Mr. Bezos? Of course, his son, who had many dealings with Ukraine, Joe Biden, of course, had many meetings, according to him and his public record, with Xi Jinping. I mean, and a lot of people coming to the White House to talk to him. Now, shouldn't we be asking these questions? Oh, I'm sorry. We did ask these questions about a year ago, right? I think even before the election, right? Before the election, when the laptop issue came about. But no. Twitter, amongst Facebook, and other social medias wanted to brush that under the rug, just a little bit under the rug, just enough. But little crumbs kept coming out, little tiny crumbs for the rats. And then people like Giuliani, who had everything in his hand, is in his possession. And now it took a whole year after everybody has seen it. And then now it's coming to light. Well, anyway, here's an article that, of course, you can find all the articles that I talk about and all the audio in the description box below, so you can take a look at it at your own time. And here's an article talking about that same thing. The friends that Biden is trying to keep quiet, or at least his administration is trying to keep quiet, you know, when talking about people visiting him in the White House. And of course, Mr. Hunter Biden and his naughty escapades in his laptop.
Biden trying to hide who he has met with, Peter Schweizer says. Red-handed author Peter Schweizer joined Maria Bartiromo, Fox News contributor Miranda Devine to discuss President Biden's possible ties to his son Hunter's email scandal. Red-handed author Peter Schweizer said that President Biden's secrecy surrounding who he has met with is hugely important evidence in the scandal involving his son Hunter. While appearing alongside Fox News contributor Miranda Devine during a segment of Sunday Morning Futures, Schweizer said that Chinese officials visited the White House during Biden's tenure as vice president and discussed what it could mean. Peter Schweizer is very clear, I mean, there were, in the laptop and in the other email collections we have from Bevin Cooney and others, I believe Miranda has that collection as well, instances where Chinese officials, this includes CCP officials and businessmen, came to the White House in 2011, and they appear in the White House visitors' logs meeting with certain officials. There's no mention of a meeting with Vice President Joe Biden. But if you go back and look at their social media and some of their web statements, they indicate that they did, in fact, meet with Vice President Joe Biden. To me, this is extremely troubling, of course, because what it means is they're trying to conceal who Joe Biden is actually meeting with, and there are other examples that Miranda has cited from Ukraine and Kazakhstan. So this is a pattern when political figures are trying to hide who they're meeting with, especially when those officials are business partners or prospective business partners of their family members. That, to me, is hugely important evidence to show what's really going on in this scheme.
Yes, scheme indeed. Scheme indeed, of course. So we can talk about Elon Musk. Now, I'm not an Elon Musk, you know, fanatic. It seems like, at least that's the way the outside appearance look, is that he's going to bring a balance to the force in terms of free speech on social media like Twitter. But is he really? If you guys checked out my previous episode, you know, there are some concerns between people saying that, hey, this transhumanism thing and AI and bringing humanity and AI together, you know, that's kind of a Musk thing too, right? Now, look, I understand that there's progressions and things need to progress and evolution and things like that. But if it gets to the point where you lose bodily sovereignty and sovereignty in your country, then that becomes an issue. And it just turns everybody into one big groupthink community, right? I mean, as much as I want people to follow what I say or think like me, like I understand, everybody's an different individual. You have the right to think what you want to think, be what you want to be, and do what you want to do. That sounds like a Rocky reference. Everybody remember that? Rocky? Rocky 5, I think. If anybody's seen that movie, that part when they wanted to revoke his boxing license, but he said no. He's like, why are you trying to deny me what I want to do? Well, anyway, almost the same principle here. Even with Rocky, he knew he was going to get his head bashed in, but he still wants to do that. He wants to go out the way he wants to go out. Sort of like the, I don't want to say the American way, but I feel like every person should want to go out the same way that they want to go out, right? On your own terms. Now, of course, we can debate if it's health-wise, you know, things like, you know, if it's through healthcare, you're a burden on the system. But it should be your choice. And I'm sure that that's in the works as well when it comes to people paying a premium for, you know, I think they've done that for years already, right? Especially with Obamacare. If you're not, you know, if you have underlying conditions or if you have bad, like if you're a smoker or have high cholesterol, you have to pay more money, right? But I digress. But these are the things that people need to understand. You know, if you're going to be saying these things out loud like that, you know, just because Bezos might have gotten upset because Musk was able to attribute Twitter, he shouldn't be going out and saying, hey, what about his dealings with China? And yet you have a president that's had many meetings and dealings with China. I believe, and wasn't there a scandal or something about Jeff Bezos working for the CIA? I don't know. A lot of finger pointing happening around here. Feels fishy. Feels very fishy. Well, enough with these millionaires and billionaires. Enough about them. They're getting too much airtime. The airtime that I would like to spend a good chunk about right now is a brave man who lost his life saving migrants coming over. Now, these are the types of people that need to be remembered and talked about for a while, right? In terms of, despite what you may think about how bad war is, or, you know, we spend so much money on war and weapons, but that's human beings. That's Americans, at least on our side. That's Americans that are out there doing what you don't do. Just plain and simple. You don't do this. The ones that are out there complaining, you don't do what they do. Right? For you, like, oh, we should all be kumbaya and happy and go lucky. That's a good wishful thinking. But you're not going to go and run in the trenches with them, right? You're not going to be doing basic training. You're not going to be walking. You probably won't even jog around the block, right? Me included. I used to do that. I'm trying to get motivated to do it again. But my point is that we don't give these people enough credit as it is. And I'm not just talking about military. Right, I'm talking about all veterans from all disciplines of you know, of defending this country. I'm talking about the men in blue, right? National Guards, Marines, Air Force, you know, Secret Service, SEAL teams, all that. They're willing to do what we don't. That kind of reminds me of a scene. Now, unfortunately, it might not correlate very well, but you might understand what I'm trying to say. Remember the Dark Knight, where Heath Ledger, the Joker, had a bomb strapped to two boats, trying to see which one is going to blow up the other boat, giving the passengers the opportunity to do so. And at one point, there is a guy, he might be a politician or a suit. I don't know who he is exactly. Don't remember. Pretty much a little, like, it seems like he's a little hesitant in doing it. But then you have this big, burly inmate. I think it was Debo from Friday. I forgot his real name. I apologize. Is he still with us? I think he might have passed away. I'm really sorry if he did. I apologize. Great actor. But he even said to the guy, give me that. I'll do what you won't do. Right? Pretty much. He's like, I'll do what you can't do. Because he's an inmate. He knows what it is to take a life, right? He knows. And even at the end, he didn't do it. He took it from his hand and threw it away. I always wonder what was the symbolism behind that? You know? It's like, is he saying, if you're not willing to do it, then you shouldn't do it? Or so, I don't know. That I don't think I've heard anybody break that scene down, but it was a very good scene. But this is the similar, right? You have, and your firemen, they run into fires. These are jobs that you won't do, right? You want to put, and this is no offense to anybody that has these kind of jobs, but this kind of job is very important, right? You want to sit in an office, or you want to be creative. You want to sit here in a chair in radio doing a podcast. You think that's more important than being one of these individuals that run into danger? Come on now. You might have and this is me included. So, you know, there's a lot of people out there with good influence, you know, in broadcasting, podcasting, things like that, social medias, TikToks, right? As much as the current administration is trying to use you guys to push their agenda, that does not make you more important than these individuals that actually go into the propaganda that this government is pushing, right? You're not there signing up to go to Ukraine, right? You're not there to sign up to go to the border to help migrants over, right? You're not there to help a domestic violent couple, right? You're not there to stop a drug deal. You're not there to stop a shoplifter. You're not there to stop a hijacker, right? It's not you. It's them. And the more that we keep downplaying them, the worse it is. So, without killing any more time, let's get into this article of the man who lost his life saving the migrants crossing over into our country, right? Because it's a better place, supposedly. But look how we treat our veterans. Is it really? Is it really? Well, let me stop taking away from this young man's airtime, and please recognize this gentleman, and may he rest in peace, and thank you for your service.
Body of missing Texas National Guard soldier found. The body of Texas Army National Guard Specialist Bishop E. Evans, who went missing after attempting to save two migrants from drowning, was found Monday on the fourth day of the search. The body of the Texas National Guard member who went missing while attempting to rescue migrants from drowning while crossing into the U.S. from Mexico was found Monday, Fox News has learned. Texas Army National Guard Specialist Bishop E. Evans, 22, went missing near Eagle Pass Friday while attempting to rescue two migrants who appeared to be drowning while crossing the river from Mexico into the U.S., according to the Texas Military Department. Multiple sources tell Fox News that Evans' body was found and recovered in Eagle Pass, Texas, Monday morning. Representative Tony Gonzalez's office separately told Fox News Digital that the Republican congressman received information from Border Patrol that Evans' body was found Monday morning. This morning, SPC Evans' body was found and identified by local authorities, Gonzalez said in a statement provided to Fox News Digital. This young soldier made the ultimate sacrifice in the name of protecting and serving our country. He will never be forgotten. Dive teams were forced to halt their operations Saturday evening as the river's current continued at an increased pace, making dive operations very challenging. Search and rescue operations began again early Sunday morning, with the addition of three airboats from the Texas Department of Public Safety. In a previous statement to Fox News, The Texas Military Department said Texas Rangers have determined from initial reports that the two migrants were involved in illicit transnational narcotics trafficking. Texas Rangers is the lead agency for the investigation, while the Texas Military Department, Texas Department of Public Safety, Texas Parks and Wildlife, and the Border Patrol had been organizing the search and rescue teams in their effort to locate Evans. Evans was a field artilleryman from Arlington, Texas, assigned to a battery, 4-133 Field Artillery Regiment in New Braunfels, Texas. He joined the Texas Army National Guard in May 2019. He returned in the fall of 2020 from mobilization to Operation Spartan Shield in Kuwait. During this mobilization, his dedication, talents, and tactical prowess led his leadership to regularly assign him to operations in Iraq in support of special operations forces for short periods of time, while then rotating back into Kuwait, according to the Texas Military Department. Fox News' Adam Sab has contributed to this report.
It is a tragedy. I'm saying it is a very tragic thing, and this is just one story. I'm sure there's many more to come and many more that happened already that we don't hear about. And not only these the National Guards and people at the border, but the people in that area. There has been, I'm pretty sure, a spike in crime where with these migrants coming over, not knowing local laws, or might not live by the same, you know, legalities as you know, as the place they were. You know, it's pretty much a wild, wild west, probably where they were from. So a lot of them probably committed a lot of crimes when they stepped over to the United States. And I feel bad for those people too. And this is why there you need to have, you know, a good constitutional carry in Texas. Because as you can tell, that as we'll get into it soon after this break, that in a lot of Democratic state-run states in this country, there's a lot of crime happening. And I think there's one man that we have to blame, you know, in terms of this. We'll get into that after the break. You're listening to Coffee with RW, Ralph Willard. We'll be right back.
CaresNone.com. It's a clothing line. It's a lifestyle. Go to CaresNone.com. Check out their clothing line. It's fantastic. Use code DeGrayArea15 and you get 15% off. That's DeGrayArea15 and you get 15% off. CaresNone.com.
Oh, yeah.
Are you uncertain about what's going on in your life? Or maybe you're trying to help someone else out fix theirs? Then I recommend you go to wholeeshift.com. That's wholeeshift.com. W-H-O-L-E, another E, S-H-I-F-T.com. And get yourself a reading from Poetic. She's a Reiki healer and is very experienced in this area. So make sure to go to wholeeshift.com. Get yourself a reading today. Or you can get it as a gift card and give it to someone who might need it. That's wholeeshift.com. Let them know Ralph William sent you. That's wholeeshift.com.
Hey, does anybody want coffee? Who wants coffee? I just made a fresh pot of coffee. Does anybody want coffee?
Coffee with RW.
So what time do we stop drinking the coffee?
I can't stop drinking the coffee. I stopped drinking coffee. I stopped doing the standing and walking and the words putting into sentence doing.
Man, I know how you feel. Usually I need a good small, not the big pots of coffee, but at least like the small one, like the $12 coffee makers, right, with the small. I think I need a good one of those or half of those, probably like a 5-cup, 4-cup, or 8-cup coffee maker. You know, that's a good one to get me started on my day and the podcast and this show. Well, anyway, so when we were just talking about earlier about Democratic-run places with high crime rates, there's usually one person that we can really look towards who has pretty much been the face of everything that has to do with destroying a country. Right? Of course, if you are, look, for anybody that's listening to me out there, I know there's a lot of other podcasts out there you can listen to. You know, if you're listening to me, thank you very much. I greatly appreciate it. I'm sure there's others out there that cover in depth this individual, but I do recommend you do your own research, you know, and to find out about this gentleman, George Soros. Because he seems like all he is out to do is to destroy, you know, countries, United States included. From my understanding, he was one of the one story that I remember from a documentary that I glanced over, is that he was one of those people that, I don't know if he ratted out the Jews to the Nazis, or he pretended to be not a Nazi. I don't know exactly what it is, but frankly, it felt like it meant that he played both sides in that whole situation. And he's really a sociopath. And I remember listening to a clip of a host asking him, "Do you believe in God?" And he flat out said no. You know, now I understand there's atheists out there. You know, I understand where they're coming from. But for some reason, it just seems like it feels evil. I don't know. It feels evil. I don't know this man. I know of him, you know, but he seems to be the cause of a lot of issues in this country. I don't know if it's everything, but in terms of this clip that I'm going to play, when they're talking about who he funds, who his organization funds in the United States, you see a pattern of a lot of like laissez-faire prosecutions and checking in and the checking of people that commit crimes. Of course, it goes into detail. Well, of course, they go into making comments about Giuliani's form of justice in New York, which seemed like it cleaned up New York pretty well. And the concept seems like it stands. It seems like it works. If you prosecute small things, that stops the big things, right? It seems like a no-brainer, right? I've heard Dan Bongino say this. If you arrest a guy jumping the subway thing, the payment for the subway, you know, you might have prevented him from causing a robbery while in the subway. You know, it kind of goes back to the whole, now I know there's exceptions out there, but it's like if someone is willing to commit small crimes, they have no problem committing big ones, right? I'm sure there's extenuating circumstances, but that is the logic that I believe is it works, right? Especially in a place like New York, where there's so much people coming in and out of that small, congested, well, not small, but that congested area in general, you know, you need to be harsh on little. Now, of course, I'm sure this is going to happen now in the future. I'm sure that the switch is going to get flipped. There's going to be more police. They're going to be enforcing a lot of things. And then everybody's going to call whoever's in charge a totalitarian because they're being too rough with criminals. Now, I mean, come on now. It might seem harsh, compared, if you want to look at people like Russia. I mean, I'm sorry, not Russia, China. Same difference. China, where they're harsh on their citizens, especially if they are tested positive, right? But that's a little bit different. So are you telling me that, and this seems to be a pattern. So So to mix Soros's agenda with the woke agenda, you mix them together. It kind of combines into like this big spirit bomb, you know, of a problem. My Dragon Ball Z fans. You tend to have, all right, so people can get offended for any little thing and use that as an excuse to maybe commit murder and not get prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law for murder in a democratic state. Oh, he didn't use my proper pronoun. Pap, done. Right? I feel like he didn't hire me because of my skin color. Right? Pep. Done. Because they're hiding all of this behind social justice. And I'm sorry. I understand these are little subjects that I try not to touch upon because I'm not them. But you cannot have that much of a gray area when it comes to skill and it comes to, you know, murder, right? Or just basic law, right? Like if you're not good at your job, let's say you're a doctor. If you're not good at your job as a doctor, people die, right? So there should be no leeway on that. We need your best. We need your competent. We need the people that are willing to not break under pressure. Right? If you want to work as a lawyer, same thing. I'm sure there's a lot of lawyers with different lawyering styles, right? You're not going to have a bunch of Keanu Reeves from Devil's Advocate running around, right? But you have to be good at those jobs. Of course, at a Burger King or something, there's some leeway, right? It's all right. A couple of burgers get burnt, we'll make you another one. That's fine. But when it comes to skilled employment, when it comes to trades, you know, and things like that, there should not be, you know, just because they are a certain skin color or a certain background or whatever, that we should hire them. They need to do their job correctly and not turn everything into a social justice thing. Now, look, I don't want to bring my personal things in this, but I understand my limitations, right? That's as far as I'm going to go with that. I understand my limitations. I try and work around it as much as I can to be involved in the game. But I know that I'm not good at certain things than others. You have to be introspective and know that you're not going to be good at everything. For you young people out there, if you come across this podcast, know this. You're never going to be good at everything. There's always going to be someone better than you. You need to work hard with what you have. You understand me? You need to work hard at what you do to the best of your ability. And if it's not good enough for a coworker, if it's not good enough for a boss, if it's not good enough for a relationship, then hey, move on. Kick rocks. Keep it moving. Don't sweat it. Do something else. Or do it your own way. Right? Do it your own way in your own style, on your own dime. Not on someone else's. But anyway, I pushed too much with this. Let's get into this. This clip that I have them talking about George Soros funding these democratic high crime states.
A new precedent set by district attorneys in Los Angeles, San Francisco, Chicago, and Philadelphia, all of them cities where many crimes are on the rise. But in all of those cities, the DAs got into office with the help of billionaire George Soros and his big fat bankroll. So what is Soros's ultimate goal here? Let's bring in Town Hall editor and Fox News contributor Katie Pavlich. Soros, ostensibly, is looking at criminal justice reform, which is a bipartisan issue. I mean, this is something that President Trump and Jared Kushner worked long and hard on. But Soros's vision of criminal justice reform is not exactly bipartisan, Katie.
Yeah, John, a couple of years ago, far left activists who don't believe in incarceration and believe that the American system of justice has to be torn down and rebuilt from their leftist ideology standpoint, put out a call basically to elect local prosecutors to do what their vision is for criminal justice reform, which is really social justice and implementing their social justice ideology and policies. And when you have someone like George Soros who can dump $1 million into a local race, for example, in 2016 with Kim Fox in Chicago, gave her $300,000, she got elected for her reelection. He gave her $1 million. When you're dumping that kind of money into local races, it's very difficult to compete, especially when the voter turnout in those races tends to be very low. But as we've seen in Chicago, murder rates are through the roof. They're letting people out of prison. We've seen this all over the country. And in terms of the ideology here, this isn't just about incompetence. This is a deeply held ideology that you've seen implemented in cities across the country. You showed all the DAs on the screen. And it really comes down to what the DA-elect in New York just said in that interview, I believe with Eric Schahn, when he said, well, it just depends on what your definition of a criminal is. And as you see with the policies, they do not believe in putting people in prison because they think that the system is systemically racist and irredeemable, and therefore they want everybody to be released out of it, regardless if you're a murderer or not.
And I think the scariest part of this too, Katie, is when you deal with these the new vision that Alvin Bragg has, that armed robbery, as long as nobody was really ever threatened or hurt, will be charged as a misdemeanor, petty larceny. That will cause the police to not show up when somebody calls to say somebody's holding us up with a gun. Senator Tom Cotton told the New York Post the following: everywhere Soros-backed prosecutors go, crime follows. These legal arsonists have abandoned their duty to public safety by pursuing leniency even for the most heinous crime, and they often flat out refuse to charge criminals for shoplifting, vagrancy, and entire categories of misdemeanors. Based on what we have seen in big cities like San Francisco and Los Angeles, and to some degree Chicago as well, with these smash and grab robbers, et cetera, it's really affecting quality of life and the economy.
Absolutely. You know, we know what works in New York. The DA-elect in New York is saying, I want to do something different. What we're doing isn't working. But what did work in New York to clean up the streets was a broken window policy under Mayor Rudy Giuliani, where you were punished for crimes that were minor crimes that didn't lead to larger crimes. Now you have the opposite approach where the DA doesn't want to prosecute very violent crimes and is turning them into misdemeanors, which we've seen as a result of those policies with these smash and grab, running into these stores and not prosecuting people or stealing things. What about not prosecuting people who are attacking innocent victims in a violent fashion on the street? And just to give you some more background on the ideology here, you know, George Soros is picking people who truly believe in this non-carceration model of criminal justice reform. For example, the DA in San Francisco, Chesa Boudin, when he ran for office in 2019, he told a story about he understands that he grew up visiting his parents in prison. He made it seem like the system was unjust, but his parents were in prison for murder. That's why they were in prison. And so he has this idea that they just shouldn't have any incarceration, even for the most violent of crimes, which people are convicted of or plead guilty to.
That's not going to end well. Katie Pavlich, great to see you. It's been a while. Happy New Year to you.
So you see how they're trying to change the way justice is now? It's not about whether you committed murder or not. It's whether you committed murder or not as a certain color, or did you have cause because you thought you felt discriminated against? I don't know what they're trying to mold here. But the fact of the matter is that innocent people get hurt when laws are not enforced, right? People get hurt when you don't treat your military, your National Guards, your policemen, you know, good, when you strip away their funding. But what's a good way to fix all this? Oh, wait, I think we found one. How about robot dogs? Right? I'm sure some of you have seen the videos of these robot dogs in, I believe, in China. Some of them are roaming the streets with blowhorns taped to the top of their of their robot bodies, yelling out, "Hey, go to your homes. Are you too proud for your home? Fight those urges of freedom and stay in your homes." But now there's going to be more robot dogs being used for more things, so that, you know, military personnel are not put in danger. You think I'm kidding? Here's an article right here that I'm going to be playing for you guys. And the future is coming, guys. The future is coming. You know how movie theaters, like movies like Terminator, in the beginning scene where that exoskeleton crushes the skeleton of a human, the skull of a human, right? What's those robots gonna do? What's those robot dogs gonna be doing? I think it's gonna be creepy seeing those things roam in the streets. But I think if they use that in New York, I think it would be very, like, if they take it up on the Upper West Side, I'm sorry, on the Upper East Side, I think they might get curb stomped by the locals. At least until they start strapping guns on it, then we're gonna get a whole bunch of. What is it? The other prototype that they had. You have 50 seconds to comply. And then you're going to have a whole bunch of dead bodies. But it's okay now. It's okay because they got your best mind at heart. Well, anyway, I rambled on too much. Let's get into this article. With robot doggies. Woof, woof.
On Friday, the press release said that the new addition to the PANGB family has been under the care of the 142nd Security Forces Squadron. The canine-like body of the QUGV reflects the beams of sunshine off of its exterior, and with one click of a button, it is awakened. 142nd Security Forces Squadron Logistics and Resources Non-Commissioned Officer, Tech, Sergeant Jamie Cuniff, has been working with the new technology since its arrival at PANGB. "We are kind of spearheading this whole side of security, this autonomous defender as they say, which makes me feel really good and proud to be in the unit," said Cuniff. Cuniff has been a key advocate for the adoption of the robot dog, and has been the leading force in getting it ready for its security mission here. "From a security standpoint, it's going to benefit us in the way that it provides some real-time video feedback and also acts as a deterrent," said Cuniff. "This semi-autonomous robot is programmed to minimize human exposure to danger. The unique capabilities of the robot, including its sensor package, creates a notable advantage for base security. It's going to give us exponentially more real-time ground situational awareness," said 142nd Security Forces Commander, Lieutenant Col Ryan Barton. "I see the dog bringing a lot of additional capability down the road. Say we have a building alarm or an event we need to respond to on the installation, the dog can go with us or first and provide us a video feed of what's going on inside the building, while also providing a two-way interface that allows us the ability to start affecting the situation while other defenders respond. The robot can independently track the perimeter of the base, endure a variety of terrain, scan the area with multiple different camera types, travel long distances on one charge, provide active surveillance of the area, and funnel that information back to those in the security forces squadron through secure means. The defenders can interrupt the autonomous function of the dog at any time, and manually control it, as a means to focus or direct the capability based on the circumstance. This is the type of change that we should all strive for," said Barton. "Maybe not a robot dog, but to find things that humans don't necessarily have to do, or don't do well, and incorporate technology or some version of innovation to free up the manpower while also enhancing capability. The use of the robot prevents real dogs and humans from being unnecessarily exposed to danger. Additionally, the camera capabilities provide information that would not be perceptible to the human eye. According to Barton, looking forward, the base is working to gain 2 more QUGVs, for a total of 3 dogs, which will provide enhanced security to the base, protecting our personnel as well as our mission assets. This novel addition to the 142nd Wing brings with it the ability to enhance Pang's mission effectiveness through additional detection and alert capability, freeing up time for the Defender to become more proficient in their skill sets as we move into the future.
So yeah, this is that's the future, guys. That's just the beginning. We got robot dogs. But it's all in the it's all for freedom, it's all for you know, humanity's sake, right? So that humans are not injured, you know, putting the machines in the line of fire. It seems like a good idea, right? It seems like I think I'm kind of down for that. Like if it was a bomb squad, you know, for like a bomb squad, I would send a machine in there, right, to check everything out. If it was to see like how many it's going to ambush, a squadron or something, you know, I would send the machine in there. I hope they don't think of it as a means of patrolling the streets of New York. Can you imagine one of those dogs, 2 or 3 of those dogs at night in New York at like 2 o'clock in the morning in a city like New York? That would be creepy. That would be total creepy. But this is what they're trying to do, man. It seems like that's what their plan is. But only time will tell. Let's see how it goes. Now, I want to end off with this little clip from an article, which I think was a pretty good article, because I always thought of this even before. Before, when I was in college, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn, it was garbage, but I'm grateful for the experience and the chance. I did get my degree, but, you know, the schooling, now that I'm looking back at it, you know, it was, I did take Marxist courses, right? And I did have this mentality that Democrat or Republicans, whatever, it's all the same thing, right? They just have different face paint, right? But they all play the same game. It's all about control. And one of the things that kind of puzzled me, but also had me thinking, especially now, you know, lately, that we have the illusion, and I've said this before in my podcast, that we've had that I feel like we have an illusion of freedom, right? Even probably in China. We like to say that how communist China really puts the boot to their citizens, right? But I feel like we're the same way. We just are not realizing it. Especially now, the way that it's been accelerated with mandates, with being your social media is being blocked, you know, people, the information not getting out, trying to keep a tight seal on some information, right? It seems like China is very good at it. We are trying to adopt that same principle. But it goes back to the illusion of freedom. And it's not only just with mandates and in freedom of information, but some of our basic rights that we're not paying attention to because they have other things happening around us to keep us distracted. But this is a good article that I want to play out to its completion, because I believe that it sums up a lot of the things that I'm thinking about. And you should too, when it comes to the illusion of freedom that we're given here in this country, the United States of America. The fairy tale that we were given, you know, as a young kid in school, and even those who want to try and fight for certain freedoms and use what we have as proof and constitutional rights laid out in front of them. People have used that as their defense, and yet there are some local governments in our country that are just curve stomping it. They don't believe in our constitutional rights. You know, and it's very troublesome. You know, it's what I felt like this for a while. I felt like these are just, you know, just things that they say, but it's not really true. You know, I guess it all boils, if they can silence our own president of the United States on Twitter, social media, and media in general, then we have come to a we have come to a total control and a total loss of our everyday rights, right? But enough rambling for me. I do want to say thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I greatly appreciate it. Remember, follow me on Twitter, at the Ralph William. Follow me on Truth Social. And go help and donate to my internet radio station. We got some good music, good shows there. If you want to go take a listen, you can listen by asking your Alexa devices, start WESN Live, and you can tune in at any time, or you can go to epicstrategiesnetwork.com. So let's get into this article about the illusion of freedom.
Rights aren't rights if someone can take them away. They're privileges. That's all we've ever had in this country, is a bill of temporary privileges. And if you read the news even badly, you know that every year the list gets shorter and shorter. Sooner or later, the people in this country are gonna realize the government doesn't care about you, or your children, or your rights, or your welfare, or your safety. It's interested in its own power. That's the only thing. Keeping it and expanding it wherever possible, George Carlin. We're in a national state of denial. For years now, the government has been playing a cat and mouse game with the American people, letting us enjoy just enough freedom to think we are free but not enough to actually allow us to live as a free people. Case in point, on the same day that the U.S. Supreme Court appeared inclined to favor a high school football coach's right to pray on the field after a game, the High Court let stand a lower court ruling that allows police to warrantlessly track people's location and movements through their personal cell phones, sweeping Americans up into a massive digital data dragnet that does not distinguish between those who are innocent of wrongdoing, suspects, or criminals. Likewise, although the Supreme Court gave the go-ahead for a death row inmate to have his pastor audibly pray and lay hands on him in the execution chamber, it refused to stop police from using hidden cameras to secretly and warrantlessly record and monitor a person's activities outside their home over an extended period of time. For those who have been paying attention, there's a curious pattern emerging. The government appears reasonably tolerant of those who want to exercise their First Amendment rights in a manner that doesn't challenge the police state's hold on power, for example, by praying on a football field or in an execution chamber. On the other hand, dare to disagree with the government about its war crimes, COVID-19, election outcomes or police brutality, and you'll find yourself silenced, cited, shut down and/or branded an extremist. The U.S. government is particularly intolerant of speech that reveals the government's corruption, exposes the government's lies, and encourages the citizenry to push back against the government's many injustices. For instance, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, the latest victim of the government's war on dissidents and whistleblowers, is in the process of being extradited to the U.S. to be tried under the Espionage Act for daring to access and disclose military documents that portray the U.S. government and its endless wars abroad as reckless, irresponsible, immoral and responsible for thousands of civilian deaths. Even political protests are fair game for prosecution. In Florida, two protesters are being fined $3,000 for political signs proclaiming stating AFK Biden, AFK Trump, and AFK policing for profit that violate a city ban on indecent speech on signs, clothing and other graphic displays. The trade-off is clear: pray all you want, but don't mess with the U.S. government. In this way, the government, having appointed itself a supreme and sovereign ruler, allows us to bask in the illusion of religious freedom while stripping us of every other freedom afforded by the Constitution. We're in trouble, folks. Freedom no longer means what it once did. This holds true whether you're talking about the right to criticize the government in word or deed, the right to be free from government surveillance, the right to not have your person or your property subjected to warrantless searches by government agents, the right to due process, the right to be safe from militarized police invading your home, the right to be innocent until proven guilty, and every other right that once reinforced the founders' belief that this would be a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Not only do we no longer have dominion over our bodies, our families, our property, and our lives, but the government continues to chip away at what few rights we still have to speak freely and think for ourselves. My friends, we are being played for fools. On paper, we may be technically free. In reality, however, we are only as free as a government official may allow. We only think we live in a constitutional republic, governed by just laws created for our benefit. Truth be told, we live in a dictatorship disguised as a democracy where all that we own, all that we earn, all that we say and do, our very lives, depends on the benevolence of government agents and corporate shareholders for whom profit and power will always trump principle. And now the government is litigating and legislating its way into a new framework where the dictates of petty bureaucrats carry greater weight than the inalienable rights of the citizenry. With every court ruling that allows the government to operate above the rule of law, every piece of legislation that limits our freedoms, and every act of government wrongdoing that goes unpunished, we are slowly being conditioned to a society in which we have little real control over our lives. As Rod Serling, creator of The Twilight Zone and an insightful commentator on human nature, once observed, we are developing a new citizenry. One that will be very selective about cereals and automobiles, but won't be able to think. Indeed, not only are we developing a new citizenry incapable of thinking for themselves, we are also instilling in them a complete and utter reliance on the government and its corporate partners to do everything for them, tell them what to eat, what to wear, how to think, what to believe, how long to sleep, who to vote for, whom to associate with, and on and on. In this way, we have created a welfare state, a nanny state, a police state, a surveillance state, an electronic concentration camp, call it what you will, the meaning is the same, and our quest for less personal responsibility, a greater sense of security, and no burdensome obligations to each other or to future generations, we have created a society in which we have no true freedom. Government surveillance, police abuse, SWAT team raids, economic instability, asset forfeiture schemes, pork barrel legislation, militarized police, drones, endless wars, private prisons, involuntary detentions, biometrics databases, free speech zones, etc. These are mile markers on the road to a fascist state where citizens are treated like cattle, to be branded and eventually led to the slaughterhouse. Freedom, or what's left of it, is being threatened from every direction. The threats are of many kinds: political, cultural, educational, media, and psychological. However, as history shows us, freedom has not, on the whole, wrested from a citizenry. It is all too often given over voluntarily and for such a cheap price: safety, security, bread, and circuses. This is part and parcel of the propaganda churned out by the government machine. That said, what we face today, mind manipulation and systemic violence, is not new. What is different are the techniques used and the large-scale control of mass humanity, coercive police tactics, and pervasive surveillance. We are overdue for a systemic check on the government's overreaches and power grabs. By government, I'm not referring to the highly partisan, two-party bureaucracy of the Republicans and Democrats. Rather, I'm referring to government with a capital G, the entrenched deep state that is unaffected by elections, unaltered by populist movements, and has set itself beyond the reach of the law. For years now, we have suffered the injustices, cruelties, corruption, and abuse of an entrenched government bureaucracy that has no regard for the Constitution or the rights of the citizenry. We have lingered too long in this strange twilight zone where ego trumps justice, propaganda perverts truth, and imperial presidents, empowered to indulge their authoritarian tendencies by legalistic courts, corrupt legislatures, and a disinterested, distracted populace, rule by fiat rather than by the rule of law. Where we find ourselves now is in the unenviable position of needing to reign in all three branches of government, the executive, the judicial, and the legislative, that have exceeded their authority and grown drunk on power. We are the unwitting victims of a system so corrupt that those who stand up for the rule of law and aspire to transparency in government are in the minority. This corruption is so vast it spans all branches of government, from the power-hungry agencies under the executive branch and the corporate puppets within the legislative branch to a judiciary that is, more often than not, elitist and biased towards government entities and corporations. The predators of the police state are wreaking havoc on our freedoms, our communities, and our lives. The government doesn't listen to the citizenry. It refuses to abide by the Constitution, which is our rule of law, and it treats the citizenry as a source of funding and little else. The American kleptocracy, a government ruled by thieves, has sucked the American people down a rabbit hole into a parallel universe in which the Constitution is meaningless. The government is all-powerful, and the citizenry is powerless to defend itself against government agents who steal, spy, lie, plunder, kill, abuse, and generally inflict mayhem and so madness on everyone and everything in their sphere. This dissolution of that sacred covenant between the citizenry and the government, establishing we the people as the masters and the government as the servant, didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen because of one particular incident or one particular president. It is a process, one that began long ago and continues in the present day, aided and abetted by politicians who have mastered the polarizing art of how to divide and conquer. Unfortunately, there is no magic spell to transport us back to a place and time where we the people weren't merely fodder for a corporate gristmill, operated by government hired hands, whose priorities are money and power. As I make clear in my book Battlefield America, The War on the American People and its fictional counterpart The Eric Blair Diaries, our freedoms have become casualties in an all-out war on the American people. If we continue down this road, there can be no surprise about what awaits us at the end.